This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by mmcomfortsystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
Last night, there was a mayoral debate between Lorena Gonzalez, current Seattle City Council president, and Bruce Harrell, past City Council president, though he was only president for like 13 seconds. But he's a longtime Seattle City Council member who decided to call it quits in this last go-around, but now he's back. Now, very clearly going in, we know a couple things about this race. It is considered tight, but Bruce Harrell has had the edge over Lorena Gonzalez this entire time, which means anything can change. A debate can actually matter, not necessarily because people were watching it last night. I have no idea who was watching it or listening to it. I sure as heck was not. I was watching Halloween Kills, which we'll do a review in a bit. But the issue is, did any of them stand out? Or did they just say the same old thing that they normally say? Now, the truth is, for the most part, they said the same old thing they normally say. But it does highlight how little Lorena Gonzalez understands what's going on in Seattle. Now, I don't say that because Bruce Harrell especially knows what's going on, but he's the least bad of the two. I don't like either of them. But if we're going to judge folks by how extreme they are and whether or not they would lean in to the defund movement and embrace policies that would make homelessness worse, Lorena Gonzalez is the worst choice. Bruce Harrell is the better choice. Better than a bad candidate. Doesn't make you a great candidate. So first clip we'll play is a fun question in that it's stupid, but it forces people to prioritize on the spot what it is they care about. They were asked what Seattle would look like in 5 to 10 years if they were to become elected. So Lorena Gonzalez goes and gives her vision.
The city is going to be you know, a walkable, bikeable city that has apartments and other kinds of home ownership opportunities that aren't just limited to million-dollar homes like they are right now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So first of all, Seattle is in fact walkable and bikeable
right now.
Right this moment.
Oh, wow. Does she know that?
I don't think she does, as she's driving around in her privileged Mercedes-Benz that she owes money on. We have access to all their financials. So that's one thing. But then she immediately says something that she doesn't understand the connection with the first comment she made. She says, after wanting to make it even more walkable and bikeable, which of course then means less drivable, right? That's what it generally means. You have to take away lanes from the drivers in order to accommodate the bicyclists, and then you've got to do some significant work on the other end for the, you know, the pedestrians who are walking around. She then says she wants to do what she can. She'll see a world in which we don't have really expensive homes. Now, in fairness, if we were to adopt any of her policies, we would have less expensive homes, because if she were in charge, this would become another Detroit, and then bam, all of a sudden you can buy a really, really nice house for like $1.15 in like Queen Anne. So
does
there's
it
that.
Come with a bulletproof vest or no?
No, you have to buy that separately.
Oh, okay.
Ironically, more expensive than the actual home. The problem is she thinks that by making a city more walkable and bikeable, it's not going to impact the cost of a home. As of right now, how long this lasts, I don't know. But what's the big employer in Seattle?
Amazon?
Amazon. Do they pay a lot of money or a little money to their workers? A
lot of money.
Even just to start.
Yeah. Big money.
Big money. And so those people presumably don't want to have to drive in traffic that's crazy because you've just transformed the city into a more bikeable area. So that means where would they live? Would they live really, really far away, Peyton, or would they live close to the office?
Close to the office.
Why would they do that? Traffic.
Yes.
They don't want to deal with traffic. But guess what? They can walk now to work or bike to work in an even easier way. Maybe take the bus, assuming it's running, if we have enough bus drivers at that point. Just get on. Okay, cool. What happens when a landlord or a home seller knows that the people who want to live near their place of work make a ton of money? Do the prices go up or down?
They're going to go up.
Yeah. They're going to go up. which is why part of her plan is to completely, what do we say progressives want to do to systems of oppression?
Destroy. Dismantle.
Dismantle. She wants to dismantle our neighborhoods, our suburbs, the single family zoning areas, zoned areas, and put in a whole bunch of big apartment complexes, a ton of them. They're not really going to fit in with the character of the neighborhood, which in all honesty, that part doesn't bother me all that much, but it's not really going to fit and people are going to push back. That's her plan. That's her only plan. That's how she thinks she's going to create a more affordable Seattle. Now, of course, this council, including this council member, could have created policies long ago that made it easier for developers to build without getting killed with excess fees for everything that they would want to do. Oh, you're going to pay for parking. Okay, we're going to charge you more. Or we're just not going to allow you to do parking to begin with. They have all of these fees and taxes that hit them. And that's part of the reason why Bruce Harrell says, no, we're not getting rid of single-family zoning the way that Lorena Gonzalez wants us to.
That is not my vision. I grew up in this city. I went to Seattle Public Schools here. I went to college here. You cannot tell me that every neighborhood is conducive toward having many apartment buildings in their neighborhoods. And that's why this is going to be a collaborative approach. Now, we will lead the discussion.
They will lead the discussion. Got it. What would be the number one priority? Lorena Gonzalez.
I think it's pretty clear that the next mayor's biggest opportunity and challenge to lead is on solving for homelessness.
Just real quick. Homelessness has gotten worse, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We're like year 18 worse. Of the 10-year plan.
17. You don't have to jump. Well, come on, let's be fair. Who's been the president of the council for the last couple years? Lorena Gonzalez. And she's been on the council for a while when things have gotten worse. And we can, I guess, pretend that Mayor Jenny Durkin has any power, but she doesn't. When you have a council that has so many votes in opposition to her, she has no power whatsoever. But the people who have power are Lorena Gonzalez and the people that she allies with on the council. She has tried to make the system work for the homeless. It has failed because she does not actually want the system to work for the homeless. She wants just free housing. And so she's willing to let people languish on the streets, surrounded by human waste, surrounded by their own filth, surrounded by used needles, and she calls that compassion.
Like so many people in our city, I believe that people living in our open spaces in tents is unacceptable.
Oh, okay. Really? Because you're not doing anything about it now. There's a ton of encampments everywhere, absolutely everywhere, and you are refusing to sweep them and have people be brought inside. And there was a funny moment also last night when Gonzalez tried to go after Harrell.
This is a reality of who my opponent is benefiting from are these billionaire class political donors, one of whom is the unrefuted top donor to the Trump campaign in 2020.
Okay. Interesting, which is why Bruce Harrell swiped back.
Jay Inslee and others that she doesn't talk about. And the fact that 2/3 of her money is coming from out of state. I mean, if we're going to have the narrative, let's just have the narrative.
I'm glad he brought it up. This whole idea. She goes, a Donald Trump supporter gave money to Bruce Harrell. Well, he also gave money to Jay Inslee. Like a lot of it. A ton of it. He's a Democrat. Okay? Now let's talk about money because Seattle Times loves to talk about money. They go overboard when a Republican or a moderate Democrat they don't like gets some money. She's getting a ton of money, he said, from out of state. It's coming from labor unions. She is getting funded by labor unions. What did she just do for one particular group of union members? Did she just give a whole bunch of extra money every single hour pretending that grocery store workers are in a hazardous environment?
Yeah, that's exactly what she did.
Weird. It's almost like they're paying her back because they know she's going to do the bidding of the unions. She knows that they will continue to give her money so long as she does what they want. So, Bruce Harrell, what's your priority?
Same issue, homelessness. I think we understand that. I guess our approach will be differently, however, will be different. I have a sense of urgency that the first thing we will do is publish a plan. You'll see cost per person, cost per unit. You'll see a dashboard of where we are now, which is totally unacceptable.
It is unacceptable, and it's happening under Lorena Gonzalez's watch. Let's be very clear about that. And he's the only of the two who actually supports sweeps. He supported Compassion Seattle. She didn't. And that's why I'm going to vote for Bruce Harrell. I'll have to hold my nose a little bit, because again, I will disagree with him on 98% of the issues, but on 2% of the issues, there's some common ground. Lorena Gonzalez, 0%. And I'm not going to waste a vote on a write-in on something like this, because this is going to be a tight race. The same is going to be true of Ann Davison, who you all better vote for in Seattle, versus Nicole Thomas Kennedy for Seattle City Attorney. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. I'll be on Fox News primetime, giving a little bit of an update on the situation here in Seattle and really Washington State as we go ahead and get ready to fire a whole bunch of people. If you can't watch it, guess what? I put everything up online. YouTube.com/JasonRants. YouTube.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It's Friday. You know what that means? It means I get to talk of movies. And the big new weekend release is the latest installment of the Michael Myers slasher films, Halloween Kills. It turns out Michael survived the house fire at the end of the last movie, and it picks up right from there as he continues his killing spree in this poor town.
Are you guys alone? Where are your parents?
No. No, we're waiting for our friend.
And, like, there's a creepy man in a white mask, and he keeps, like, trying to play hide-and-seek with us, and he's...
Where did you see him?
He's just hiding behind trees.
And he pops out like, peekaboo! I mean, we're not 3 years old. Come on, man!
Oh, look, there he is!
Oh, hello!
Hello!
This time he's facing more than just Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis. He's taking on the whole town as they gather together to kill Michael once and for all. And in a little bit of a twist, the cast of characters actually extends to victims from the older films, including some of the very same and much older actors. It's a fun addition to the movie, but ultimately, it can't save this mess of a movie. It doesn't even attempt to make sense of the killings, which are as gruesome as they are random, and I know that that's what it does. But something told me, something felt like this movie was going to advance the franchise. It doesn't. And while I love the addition of those throwback characters and actually some really well-done flashbacks, Halloween Kills just completely sidelined the main character. Jamie Lee Curtis is barely in this film. Her entire role almost feels like a cameo. And just like the last one, it's more gross and shocking with the murders than it is scary. This isn't really a horror movie in that regard. Now, I streamed this film at home, which could have played a role. I imagine it would play better in a dark theater filled with a bunch of other people who are kind of tense. So keep that in mind. If you're looking for senseless serial killing and dismemberment, you'll enjoy Halloween Kills just fine. But if you're hoping for the franchise to go that next step, take that next step, go a little bit further, you're going to be disappointed in Halloween Kills. So, for that reason, I do not recommend it. What movie are you going to see this week? Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. Right now, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Crime.
We've got a police staffing crisis right now. There is no doubt about it. There are not enough police in Seattle. There are not enough deputies in King County. When you look at some of the smaller departments, they're also struggling to get people to become cops. Bellevue, for example, Federal Way is down, what, 17 cops that they need? We have a staffing crisis. And that's before the mass firings on Monday.
My friend's car recently got broken into, and they basically just said they couldn't even show up. It is a little concerning hearing that, like, detectives have to come down too.
This is a common complaint from so many folks, like this guy talking to Cairo 7 TV.
Yeah, it's kind of concerning. I mean, I've experienced that with having to wait for the police. I had somebody to break into my house not too long ago, and we had to call and wait and wait and wait.
Cops would love to be able to respond quickly. Unfortunately, they're not in positions to do so because they are understaffed. And part of the reason that they are leaving in the numbers that they are leaving in is the defund movement, the activists from BLM, and the Antifa thugs painting cops with the broadest of brushes. You have activists in BLM. You have thugs in Antifa. You have council members who have decided that they're going to attack the police. And then you've got your average person, a Seattleite. This one's named Brick House with
Brick.
A Q. Yeah.
House.
She loves to just say how all cops are, they're just bad.
If people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, if they're not taking charge and taking care of the community that they have been charged to serve, then they're not doing their job.
But they are doing their jobs and they are taking everything seriously. You don't, because you don't like cops, and that's okay. You don't have to like cops, but understand you do have to live with the consequences. Because this year in King County, more people were shot and killed between January and September of this year than all of last year. Okay? January through September saw 73 people being shot and killed across King County. Last year, for the entire year, was 69. That 73 is going to go up. It's going to go up and up and up. Seattle is having another historic year. It's going to meet or exceed last year's historic year. And it doesn't seem like there's any end in sight.
It allows us to confirm what we feel in our gut, which is today that incidents of gun violence, incidents of shots fired continues to grow at an alarming pace.
That's Dan Satterberg, a key reason why the problem is as bad as it is. He's the King County prosecuting attorney. He doesn't like prosecuting people. Things have changed a little bit in the last several months because I think even he realizes the problems he has helped contribute to. And he says the lack of people working either at the SPD or the sheriff's office, it is contributing to an environment in which people feel like they can get away with this. They feel emboldened.
I'm concerned that they're stretched so very thin at this time when we need that kind of help, both on the older cases and on these new cases that are coming forward.
Now, of course, if Satterberg actually put bad guys in jail instead of not charging or charging very light and then pleading down, which guarantees that that bad guy is going to get put back out onto the streets, maybe, just maybe, the SPD job would not be so difficult. They would still be stretched thin because we only have 1,048 deployable officers. In a city the size of Seattle, it should be something along the lines of 1,400 to 1,600. So we are 400 to 600 short of where we need to be. We lost 335 since last year, and that's accounting from the end of the last month. So if anyone left, and I'm sure they did, in the last 15 days, I'm not accounting for it. But I can account on Monday for the amount of cops who are going to be fired. We're expecting to lose anywhere between 100 and 400 cops, depending on how many of the 300 or so who have simply not said either way what they're going to do turn in their vaccine passports. We have about 100 or so, a little bit more than 100, who have asked for their accommodation. They have all been denied. I know personally two cops who have been fired as a result of this. They're done as of Monday. More are coming. If we lose even a fraction, a tiny fraction of the 400, we will be in total chaos in this city. And I know folks on the left who want to pretend that nothing is wrong, we have no problems, will pretend that I'm just being dramatic. Okay, go ahead and pretend I'm being dramatic. You're the one who's living in a delusion, or you are contributing to the gaslighting of America. Because all the stuff that's going wrong, you're telling us isn't happening. And yet we see it. Homeless problem? There's no homeless problem. What are you talking about? Crime. Crime's going down, except of course it's not. Police, they've got enough. Oh yeah? Okay. That explains why they're in a stage 3 emergency operations mode right now. Huh. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. You know how I told you we're living in a world of just nonstop gaslighting?
Yes, you did say that.
I have example after example after example, and it's kind of remarkable. And, you know, there was a tweet that was sent out by former Obama Economic Council Chair Jason Furman. He's an economist. He's a professor over at Harvard. And he tweeted something that is indescribably stupid and just inaccurate. But it's the kind of tweet you can get away with when you know that there will be at least half of the public who won't call you out because they agree with you politically. And then you've got most of the media who won't say a thing also because they agree with you politically. He sent out a tweet about inflation. And this tweet ended up getting amplified by Ron Klain, the chief of staff for President Biden. He retweeted it and then wrote this with two fingers pointing down to the tweet like, oh my gosh, this is some great take right here.
He used emojis?
It was not a great take.
Did he use emojis?
There were the fingers.
Oh,
is that an emoji?
That's such a good tweet. Yeah. When you are able to use the fingers to point at what you're trying to do, well done.
I only use one finger.
Yeah, you use that one a lot. You should stop using that one because HR is going to get on you for it.
Yeah, well, there are no cameras in here yet. Here's the tweet. Most of the economic problems we're facing, inflation, supply chains, etc., are high-class problems. We wouldn't have had them if the unemployment rate was still 10%. We would instead have had a much worse problem. Okay, so he's saying this is only a problem for the rich. Inflation, supply chain issues, which increase the cost of goods on the shelves, that make life more expensive. It's a problem for the rich, which is a stupid comment to make because the rich can afford to pay all of this stuff. But the truth of the matter is, you have a whole bunch of people right now who are struggling. This is transparent gaslighting. This is gaslighting. That is the Biden administration strategy. That is the Democrats' strategy. All of their allies in the media, it's their strategy. Peaceful protests. These are peaceful protests, we say, as a building is being literally burned to the ground behind the reporter. There's no crisis at the border. What are you talking about? Except all those images of clear crisis in action at the border. Afghanistan, well, that wasn't a failure. That was a huge success. I mean, except for the deaths of all those Americans and the fact that you pulled the military out first and then you had to bring them back in because it was so unsafe. Biden is widely popular. What are you talking about? Except for the poll numbers that show him underwater. We are told one thing that's always almost the exact opposite of the reality. And that's what we're dealing with here. And you'll recall, we were told no inflation. Inflation, huh? What inflation? Are you nuts? There's no inflation. And then it switched to, well, it's short-term inflation and it's good inflation. It's what? Good inflation? Why is it good? Well, because it shows you that money. What? It shows you money. Mr. President, why are you walking away? You haven't even finished answering the question. This is the first question you've taken in 4 months. We have inflation to the point where everyday items are more expensive and people are struggling to pay in certain parts of this country, in certain parts of the state. Eggs are up 12.6%. That's the primary mode of cheap protein for people like Peyton. 12.6% increase. Milk, 3.2%. Steak and pork, 19.2% increase over a year ago. Hotels, 19.8%. So the people who have been saving money so they can finally go on a vacation, now that they can travel, now that they're vaccinated, they have to pay almost 20% more than they were accounting for. Gasoline went from $2.18 last year to $3.31 on average. And for those of you here in Washington, you know when I say average, that means some of us pay more. People rely on their cars to get to work for that commute. They're filling up just as much as they were before, but now they're taking more money out of their bank accounts to do it. There are businesses that are run out of their cars. There are people who are driving from client to client, from business to business. Contractors are going around cities into different counties. This hurts their bottom line, But Jason Furman says, no, it's all good.
The reason that we're having this problem is that people are buying a lot. You know, I was in the White House 12 years ago when we were suffering a really slow recovery. We didn't have these types of problems then. In fact, inflation was falling in 2009, but we weren't celebrating that. It was falling because we had a high unemployment rate. So big picture, the U.S. economy is in much better shape than almost any economy in the world. But yes, the U.S. economy has an inflation problem and we need to deal with it.
It's funny because he did a rather long interview on Fox News this morning with Bill Hemmer, who just hammered him. Hemmer the Hammer is what I call him.
Yeah, is that going to catch on? Is that going to sweep the nation?
I will. The next time I'm on the show, I'll tell him that. He points out that he kind of sneaks this in where you realize the context of what he's talking about there. He's saying we're buying more now than we were a year ago. Well, yeah. Guess what was closed last year? Many businesses. A ton of businesses. Businesses were closed. People were saving money as best as they could. So, yes, it's true that more people are buying now than they were last year. But you see, their dollar is still kind of worthless when you compare it to the inflation rate going up. It's not completely worthless, of course. But it's not worth as much as it was last year when inflation wasn't this high. But he still looks at this, as he says to Bill Hemmer, he looks at this and, hey, guess what? This is all good news, folks. I mean, some people are hurting, sure, but on the whole, this is good.
Americans are traveling more than they were a year ago.
Again, dum-dum, it's because we reopened the industry. Do you realize that? Yes. So when he's comparing what we did last year to what we did this year, without the context of that whole pandemic thing, it's kind of bizarre. What were we doing 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Compare it to that. But he won't, because that doesn't make his argument.
That's a good thing. Americans are spending more. They're spending more in restaurants.
They're spending more because things cost more. Did you know that when eggs were $4 for a dozen or whatever, that's $4 spent, right?
Yes.
Okay, if they're now $4.50, am I spending more?
You are. 50 cents.
Am I getting more?
No, you're still getting
more. So I'm spending more, but I'm getting exactly the same that I got last year. And this dum-dum is all like, well, people are spending more because things are more expensive. That's why. Well, the good news is they've got more money now to spend. We gave them a stimulus. Oh, yes, that $2,000 went so far for everybody. They're still spending it. The $2,000, that wasn't worth the same as it was 3 years ago. It is absurd.
They're spending more on sporting goods. They're spending more on nights out. They're spending more on travel. That's all a really good thing. That's what's most important.
Yeah, struggling to pay for those items that you otherwise would be purchasing, it's all a good thing. Thank you so much, Jason Furman.
In part, that's happening because every person in this country got a $2,000 chat room.
Okay.
Can you do this?
Let's try. So they're not spending even money that they earn. They're spending their own tax dollars that they previously had put in, and they're spending it and getting less for it. And that's a rich person problem. Okay, yeah, we got it. Thank you so much, Jason Furman. Harvard professor, Jason Furman. Oh, my God. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Don't forget, if you missed my Tucker Carlson Tonight appearance last night, I know it's a little bit of a tongue twister or a brain bender, something like that. I don't know what it is, because I said if you missed it last night, tonight, but it's, you know what I mean?
Tucker Carlson Tonight last night?
Yeah. It's on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JasonRantz. I'll be on Fox News Primetime today, which you can also find at the same exact link. So I want to talk a little bit about sports, and maybe we'll get into the politics of it all. But first, the Kraken last night, they won their first ever match.
Game.
game.
Yes.
Also, it was their first away game win, road win.
Yes, first ever road win after following their first ever road loss.
And it was the first time their fans got into a huge brawl in the crowd.
Yes, the it was a great fight in the crowd.
It truly was, because normally, let's be honest, the fights that happen in the stands are usually kind of low-key crappy.
Yes.
It's like the two drunken idiots going at it. They're not professional fighters anyway. And I don't know why we always think, probably because of movies, that everyone's going to fight a certain way. They never live up to what you think the fight will be. The brawls almost never do, unless it's just a whole melee and people are not just fighting with their fists.
Well, and crowd fights always seem like ones that are a lot of talk, but neither are fully committed on fighting because they know that there's repercussions and at some point there's a line that's just crossed. They're like, oh, well, I'm here. I got to fight.
So the fight broke out. We don't know what started it. I'm assuming it was not related to the hockey game. That's my assumption.
Most likely not.
Unless, and now I'm going to talk myself into thinking it was exclusively about the hockey match. Game.
Just go with game.
Shut up. I can't switch between all the stupid sports. This was a Kraken fan in a crowd of Predator fans.
Yes. We're on the road, we will likely be outnumbered. Yes.
And the Kraken win.
Yes.
So is it possible that the Kraken fan said something to the Predator fans that caused the ruckus?
Sure. That
might be
possible.
Or it was just two drunken idiots. Now, what was curious was the winner in this fight, surprisingly so, was, I thought, the Kraken fan.
Is there any winners in crowd fights?
Yes, because he landed the most blows.
Okay, so that's fair. You got him on the scorecard like 10-8?
Yeah, on the scorecard. He was high. He was on higher ground. Is that better or worse in a fist fight? I guess it's...
Star Wars Episode 3, having the high ground was a massive advantage
for
Obi-Wan.
For fist fighting.
I feel like fist fighting
and lightsaber
the same.
Because then you got to punch down, which you could lose your balance.
But you got more force coming down. Going up, that's going to be tougher. You got to fight gravity at the same time.
Not on a mountain, okay? Dude, it's just like there's maybe a half of a foot separating them. And I would kind of argue that, mostly because the people who think that they're going to land a hard blow to the face, they're never as hard as you think and you never make really good contact. I would argue the person on the ground, the lower person, could get a better punch to the stomach.
Yes, the body blows will be heavier for that person. Yeah,
more than a weak punch to the face. In any case, Kraken guy very clearly won. But in all the videos, and they're available online, my favorite part of this video is there's this like older couple, I'm assuming they're a couple, sitting next to the guys fighting, and they're just kind of smiling the whole time and laughing. They're not moving. They are of no concern whatsoever that they're going to get hit by any of these people by accident, that they're going to fall over onto them. None of that whatsoever is happening. And then at one point, a third person gets into the fight. I think it was a Kraken fan as well, because I couldn't quite tell who he was punching by the angle, but I think he was wearing a Kraken jersey.
Maybe it was just somebody who wanted to get some punches in anyways, had some built-up anger.
He went for someone. So I don't know who he went for, and I couldn't quite tell. I think because I could only see it from an angle at the side and back of him.
Yes.
So I couldn't even tell if it was, because I don't know what the uniform, frankly, I don't know what the uniforms are for the Kraken, but I know that the other team is yellow.
Yeah, navy blue and yellow.
But this guy was white, but not necessarily blue, like the, so I couldn't tell. In any case, Kraken guy won, and I think that this is a day that should be celebrated. 10-14, the history of the Kraken. First win, first brawl.
Good. I love that, actually, because, we didn't get any viral clips like that from the fans in Vegas. And honestly, we had a lot of Kraken fans down in Vegas, so they should have been throwing some hands in the crowd. I'm glad that we were able to do so in Nashville.
Meanwhile, let's talk about the vaccine mandate. Kyrie Irving is a conspiracy theorist player, right?
Yes.
Isn't he like a UFO guy or something?
Flat earther.
Okay.
And he has one other thing that he's...
I think he's an alien guy, because the shoes I bought that he designed...
Oh, the ray guns?
Yeah, have an alien on it.
They're
super ugly, but I kind of love him.
He's very big on the flat earth conspiracy.
So he plays on a basketball team in New Jersey or New York?
Brooklyn.
Same thing.
Brooklyn Nets.
So in New York.
Yes, in Brooklyn.
So I was correct.
But they're the Brooklyn Nets. They used to be the New Jersey Nets, and now they're the Brooklyn Nets.
But see
Nets.
How I... That's why I was confused. He's a very good player.
Yes.
A-list star in the NBA for all intents and purposes. But he's also someone who's not getting vaccinated. He said he's not going to get vaccinated, which means he can't actually play in his stadium on any of the home games because of the rules. And so he spoke again in his Instagram this time explaining in the simplest of terms, why he's not getting the vaccine.
Like, I got to make these myself. Because it's going to continue to revolve around this and that. And, yo, you're going to lose out on money and you're going to lose out on this. Like, so what?
That, by the way, is a very... Talk about privilege. I'm going to lose millions of dollars and...
Yeah. So what?
Do you know how much I'm currently worth?
It's not about the money, baby. It's not always about the money.
And by the way, good for him for saying this after he sold me $120 shoes that probably were made in a sweatshop in China.
Not about the money, Jason.
Okay. Well, for me, it was. That's a lot of money.
It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money?
Yes.
You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship?
No.
You think I really just want to give up my job?
Maybe.
You think I really just want to sit at home and not go after the things with my teammates that I've been able to grow with, to learn with,
learn
that it takes sacrifice in this space? Because we could be easily at home chilling with our families, but we're choosing to go out there and perform.
I mean, you're staying at home.
You know, and even in that job, like that's a dream come true. I've been working on that since I was in fourth grade. You think I want to give up my livelihood because of a mandate, because I don't have accommodations, because I'm unvaccinated? Come on.
Good for him, actually. I'm glad he's standing up. Look, not everyone can stand up. They don't all have multi-million dollar contracts that they've already cashed and been paid for. So for him to do this, it is, I mean, you could, some can make the argument that it's selfish, but I don't think it's selfish. I think it's selfless. He knows what he's doing. He knows that it's hurting his team. He knows that it's hurting himself, and he's choosing to put himself first. He has every right in the world to make a medical decision on his own, whether that means getting vaccinated and not putting in the paperwork because you don't want to give up that kind of right, or simply not getting the vaccine. I can't remember what his reasons were behind it, but at the end of the day, doesn't matter. They're his decisions. I've said it a million times. I'm going to keep saying it because it's so important. When you tell me that Kyrie Irving has to get vaccinated in order to safely play an NBA game that he played safely last season in that weird bubble season, but you're telling me right now him playing against a whole bunch of vaccinated players is dangerous. But no one will tell us why. I've yet to hear why it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
That's all I hear. It's you got to do it. We got to do it to stop the spread.
Science.
But it doesn't stop the spread. You can catch and spread COVID while vaccinated. We know that as a matter of fact. But the data doesn't say what you think it says.
More
the data
science.
Says very clearly that if you're vaccinated, the impact that COVID will have on you is negligible. For the vast majority of people, are there anomalies? Yes. But for the vast majority of people, you're going to be safe from going to a hospital and you're not going to die. Okay? That's the benefits of the vaccine. And those are great benefits. That's why I took it. However, if you're choosing not to do it for whatever reason, including having had COVID before, meaning you have natural immunity, no one will answer the question why it's so dangerous. No one whatsoever. And it's driving me nuts. And it's pushing me into not conspiracy land, but it does push me into the world that they shouldn't want me to go into, these public health officials. They should want me to be, you know, ask questions, be curious about decisions they make. But ultimately, they would want me to make the decision that's best for my health and the health of the people around me. But they're pushing me and so many others away when they're just not being honest and answering some questions that are reasonable. These are reasonable questions. I'm just waiting for a reasonable answer. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. That sounds like a good thing to put in my Tinder profile. I'm just asking reasonable questions, and I'm waiting for reasonable answers.
Is that what you're thinking swipe about right now?
Well, I just thought it sounded really good. Like, I would swipe right
You got
on
a
that.
Lot of radio show left, and you're going to be thinking about your Tinder bio right now?
Oh, my God. Two more hours.